day, and not many people know about him then.
What's that?
I know you know it. Of course, he was born in 1949, and he's from Long Island, New York. And he went to the University of Northwestern University. And then he read, while he was in the university, he read Vigad Shilpa's books, and he joined his college in 1971. And then since 1972, as Philip Prabhupada was pushing extensive book distribution around that time, the Mahara joined the book distribution party, traveling all over the United States to distribute books. In 1974, he got directly involved in the publication of Srila Prabhupada's books, both in English and in Spanish. And he also went to South America, Central America, Caribbean Islands to distribute books on many occasions. In 1978, he got into the lifelong celibacy of lifelong into sannyas in 1978. Uh-huh. And then, as you know, in 1982, he built his famous temple in Hillsboro that's in the shape of like a hemisphere. It's especially.
What state, Hillsboro?
North Carolina.
North Carolina,
Hillsboro. You go over there, you can find a beautiful temple, a unique ISKCON temple. No other temple is like that. And he used his engineering expertise to construct that temple. In 1982, he constructed that. And then in 1985, he became GBC, and zones are like Southeast Asia, USA, to all the way to Fiji Islands, and Russia and Siberia, those places, including now his home base is in Govardhan. He has his home base in Govardhan. And we welcome him, that he's a GBC for New Orleans also. And he's a spiritual master also, continuing in the Siddhic succession, going back all the way to Krishna himself, coming down the same Guru Parampara, and continuing the line of lineage, and he had disciples, hundreds of disciples in many centers around the world. So we welcome him. Please welcome His Holiness Sri Krishna Goswami Maharaj.
Okay, I guess I should say a few words.
Is it closer?
Yeah, a little closer. So, Om Ganatu Nandasha, Nandjana Shlakaya, Chaksur and Miritam Yenatas Mai, Shi Gurave Namaha. So, I just want to welcome everybody for the nice reception. And I've been coming here to New Orleans since 1972. I haven't been the GBC since 1972. I've been the GBC since the 90s sometime. So in 1972 I came here, and of course it was a different temple president. That was... before Nanda Gopal was born, actually. What year were you born?
Yeah, 1969.
Oh, 69. So you were only like a few years old. You're a little baby. So anyway, I've been coming to New Orleans and to New Taliban for that period of time. Joined the movement in 1971. And then after that, I began to travel. Shortly after that, I began to travel with a sannyasi, and I took sannyasi. 1978, which is about 40 years ago. It's a long time, right? So, somehow or other, I've dedicated my life to serving Prabhupada. And it was Prabhupada's association that got me to join the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I first associated with Prabhupada when Prabhupada had his record playing on the radio in about 1968. I listened to the Hare Krishna record, the happening record, that's what the record was called. And just by hearing that record, my life was changed. Because Prabhupada was chanting the Shuddha Naam. Shuddha Naam means the pure name. So if we could chant the Shuddha Naam, the pure name of Krishna, we could change the whole world. as Prabhupada was changing the whole world. Because in the space of 11 years, Prabhupada opened up, I think it was 108 temples in the space of 11 years because of his pure chanting, because of his pure devotion. So right now, most of us are chanting, well, somewhere between Namavas and Namaparada. So at least we're chanting. So in order to come to the pure stage of chanting, one has to, of course, avoid the 10 offenses on chanting the holy name. And, of course, that means, you know, regularly chanting our 16 rounds, which Srila Prabhupada requested us, required us to chant, and reading the Bhagavatam, and associating with the devotees, and offering food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But above and beyond avoiding the 10 offenses, it is required that we associate with the pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as mentioned in the Vedic literatures and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvashastra koi, lava mantra, sadhusanga, sarvasiddhi hoy. Of course, you all know that verse since it's Bengali. That by association with a sadhu for a 11th of a second, lava mantra, you know, a very tiny fraction of a second, that one can attain all perfection. I mean, that was my experience with Prabhupada. So that's the secret. Actually, if you want to know the secret for becoming a pure devotee of the Lord, it's to associate with the sadhu. But what does it mean to associate with the sadhu? Like Prabhupada said, that if a bug crawls on the sadhu, that's not association. You understand? An insect crawls on it. That's not association. Association is, as you were chanting the guru prayers, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitte Te Koriya Vakya, that to take the words of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Because the spiritual master is present in sound vibration, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. I think you all know that verse too. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, he's our great acharya who, I think he produced more books than practically anyone else, more books, more poems, more spiritual realization. Today I was reading his Jaiva Dharma, wonderful literature on Krishna consciousness. So we associate with a pure devotee by sound vibration. Because as Lord Kapila Dev says, Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Kata to Joshana Dasyu Apavarga Vartmani Sudhara Thiravapti Nukramishati. He says, basically, there is a channel between the ear and the heart. Bhavanti harit karna. So whatever we take in through the ear, it goes to the heart. Like if you take in Bollywood songs through the ear, of course I'm sure that none of you listen to Bollywood songs, right? Sure? No, I'm not sure. So anyway, if we take Bollywood songs in through the ear, it goes to the heart. And then we end up karnam gunasangasya sadasad Janma Jonishu. What do we end up doing? Associating with the modes of nature, right? Yeah. And then mode of passion, mode of ignorance, a little bit of the mode of goodness. So, but if we take the words of the spiritual master to heart through the ear, then we associate with the Vishuddha Sattva. So what does it mean to take the words of the spiritual master? It means to follow. Because if you simply listen and you don't follow, then it's like in one ear, out another, as the expression goes. In other words, there's nothing in between. As Prabhupada said, instead of sumedasa, you have durmedasa. Or as Prabhupada said, you have gober brain. You understand? You understand what that means? Like cow manure in the brain. Gober. Gober brain. So, we have to take the words as our life and soul, and the service that's described, Savitpani Shrotiyam Brahmanishto. The bona fide disciple is a servant of a spiritual master. That's Samitpani, means basically fetching firewood, but means being a servant. Shrotiyam, hearing nicely, and Brahmanishtam, never deviating. Nishta means fixed, or never deviating. So if we take that instruction and act on it and serve the mission of the spiritual master, just like Srila Prabhupada, of course, I got initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada passed away in 1977. And when Prabhupada passed away in 1977, I read from his Srimad Bhagavatam, where he said, in the fourth canto, that when the spiritual master passes away, one should be ready to leave this world with the spiritual master. In other words, like a sati rite. You've all heard of sati rite?
Yeah.
That means when the husband dies, the lady jumps in the fire. Nowadays, they don't allow that anymore. Nowadays, the lady throws the husband in the fire while he's still alive, right? That's the blazing fire of material existence, isn't it? Samsara dhavana huli loka chunayakara naganaganapo. So, the sati rite was that the lady was so dedicated to her husband that she couldn't envision living without the husband unless the children were there. And then she had service to the husband. So the husband was represented by the children. Her service to the husband was represented by service to the children. So the same way, service to the spiritual master is represented by serving his mission. And Srila Prabhupada comments in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam that one who serves the mission of the spiritual master, when the spiritual master passes away, then the super soul becomes manifest before that particular individual. So that's the secret of spiritual life. You know, we all know that. Yashal prasada, bhagavad prasada, yashal prasada na, kati kato. To serve the mission. So when Prabhupada passed away in 1978, I took sannyas right after, in 77, sorry. I took sannyas in 78 immediately afterwards as a method of dedicating my life to Prabhupada's service. And so now at my age, which is old age, I'm going around and still helping with the administration of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, visiting you all here. So I'm coming here to serve you all, because you're Prabhupada's grandchildren. And one of Prabhupada's children is there. Any other children from Prabhupada? Yeah, I said one. Oh, Dalesha. Okay, yeah, two children, Prabhupada. And the rest of you are grandchildren. So Prabhupada's Pitamaha for you. So we're simply doing this out of service, and guess what? By doing this out of service, we are already in the spiritual world. We talked about this a little bit this morning in class, that sometimes people are thinking that if they build a house in Mayapur, then they're guaranteed to go back to the spiritual world. But if you serve Prabhupada's mission, you're guaranteed to go back to the spiritual world. You can build a house in Mayapur and be in Maya watching Bollywood movies in Mayapur. Because now they have internet everywhere. Or you can be serving Prabhupada. So if you want a quick and easy way to go back to the spiritual world, then you serve. That's Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada in his final days said to the devotees when he couldn't move, Prabhupada said, take me to London. He said, I want to leave this world like a soldier, like Arjuna. on the battlefield. So we are meant to be fighters for Krishna. First of all, we don't fight for Krishna, we'll fight with each other. Is that? You know, we have fighting energy. All of us in Kali Yuga are, as Prabhupada said, mixed castes of unknown origin. Everyone. Practically everyone. I mean, probably wasn't. But Kali Yuga, Kalava Shudra, Sambhavat, so if we don't fight for Krishna, then we'll end up fighting with each other. And just like on the internet, you can go and see so many comments and people are fighting, you rascal. You know, for example, I just look at one of the things I posted on the internet. I posted a cooking video on the internet. And half of the comments were that he ate me. I'm a demon, you know, he's a demon, you know, whatever. I say, don't these people have, maybe I am a demon, I don't care about that, but who cares? I mean, at this age, I don't have any false ego about these things. If someone calls me a demon, I'll say, Hare Krishna. Doesn't matter, or rascal, I don't care. So, but I'm thinking, don't people have better things to do with their human form of life? This is a Sankirtan movement. We're meant to bring others to Krishna. Kali Kalaradhan, Krishna Nama Sankirtan. That's the Yuga Dharma. So that's what we should be doing, and that would please Srila Prabhupada very much. So actually, I'm very happy with all of you that you're assisting here in New Orleans, Srila Prabhupada's Sankirtan mission. And I guarantee anybody who assists in this temple and keeps the temple going, as Prabhupada said, keep the wheels turning, referring to the Indian railway system. But anybody who assists like that, I guarantee you will go back to the spiritual world. Yeah. I guarantee you. I mean, you have my signed statement that you'll go back. Like, Shraddhadeva is helping. He doesn't like me talking about him. He gets very upset. Actually, when I come next time, for the Ratha Yatra, he's going to take second initiation. He promised, but he won't go on the altar.
Well, Maharaj, the reason he doesn't take that initiation is because right now all the food they bother him. No one is in the kitchen. So go do cooking. No one is to bring the flour for the deities, and he
had
to run to the airport.
Yeah. So he
doesn't want you to be bothered, like, you know, okay, no one is doing that.
No, he won't. He'll be serving. He's actually dedicating his life to serving Radharada Kanta. And especially, I guarantee that he's going back to Godhead. And that's all we have to do, to serve Prabhupada's mission. It's nothing fancy. We don't have to be a fancy kirtan leader. We don't have to be a good artist. I mean, we could do those things. It's nice that we can do those things. But if we just, like, humbly serve Gopi Bharata, Pada Kamala, Dasa Dasa, Dasanu Dasa, isn't that our message? If we're a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord, then that's perfection. Then we go back to the spiritual world. So if you can serve this mission here, help Srila Prabhupada, then there'll be unlimited mercy for you. And I'm trying my best, you know, to come to this temple, New Talavan, I'm in charge of Fiji, I'm in charge of so many other temples, you know, thousands of disciples, you know, just try my best just to serve everybody and serve Srila Prabhupada by this. And I have faith. That's called Asabandha. Asabandha means hope against hope. That means we have faith that even if we don't have pure devotional service right now, we will get it by doing the right thing. Shudashabdehe, Vishashabdehe, Sudrida Nishya. That's faith. Actually, the word Shraddha is a very interesting word. It doesn't mean just faith. Did you know that? It means basically to give your heart. Not just you believe, you know, I believe Krishna is God. That's not faith. Faith is I believe that simply doing what Krishna wants, everything will be accomplished. You know, Shraddha Deva Shahashakahe Sudrida Nishtya. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Shrad, just like your Shraddha. So Shrad is like Rad, Rid, Rid, Da, Rid, Da, like Shraddha. It means heart, give. So you give your heart to Krishna. And then you have that faith, and then once you have faith, then it's very easy to become Krishna conscious. And if you don't have faith, Shraddhana Purusha Dharma Shasha Palandapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Machu Samsara Vartani. So please have that faith in serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, and Prabhupada will be merciful to you, and I'll pray for you, and I'll give you my guarantee that you'll get perfection. So thank you very much. And just like, you know, Digpal is serving Prabhupada's mission all these years. Even though he has a wife and children, he's just like, come here to serve. His wife is crying all the time. Where is my Digpal? Where is my Digpal?
I don't think so, she's happy.
And he's like,
Prabhupada is happy.
And he's thinking, I have to serve Krishna. I have to serve Prabhupada. So this is a good example. Perfect example. So, any questions or comments? Yes?
I have a couple of questions, Maharaj.
Okay.
My first question is related to, I was reading one of your books called Realizing...
Our Empathic Nature Connected to Krishna. Yeah.
Where you... Basically, the book focuses on the 4 points of observation, and then feeling.
Observations, feelings,
and request.
Request.
So sometimes what happens is that our need may be multivariate. I mean, our need may depend on other people as well. So what happens when your request is not met because the other person is not ready to satisfy your need?
You kill them. No. No. I'm just joking. And he's asking a technical question that I don't know if we should get into here, but I've written a book about devotees having close connections with each other, empathic. Empathic connection means to actually consider paradukaduki, to consider others' feelings, others' happiness to be as important or more important than your own happiness. You know, paradukaduki? I think everybody knows what that means. So, this book is written to help the devotees develop that mood in relationship to each other. And in order to do that, one of the things we want to avoid is demanding things from devotees. I'm just trying to put it in language that everyone will understand. Because when you demand things from people, then they'll either rebel, don't want to do it, or if they do it, they won't do it with the devotional mood. As we know, Rupa Goswami states that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Navratam Anukulyena Krishna Nushilaram Bhakti Uttamam. One should serve Krishna lovingly with a devotional mode, he says. It's not, service is not when you serve Krishna. Why the hell did the temple president ask me to do this? That's not service. You understand? You know, it's better than nothing, but it's not bhakti. Bhakti means to do things willingly, joyfully, with the idea of pleasing Krishna. That's what Rupa Goswami says. So, we have to learn the art of encouraging people and requesting people to do things if they actually want to. Because when you force people to do things, as Prabhupada said, a person convinced against his will is of the same opinion. Still, ever hear that before? So in other words, you can't force people to do things. So the art, this book deals with the art of connecting with people through the heart and encouraging people. That's one of the themes in the book. So as far as what you do if someone doesn't want to do something, then you say, Hare Krishna.
In that that just my need is still not fulfilled.
That's your business. Your business is to take care of your needs, not the other person.
Yeah, but my need may sometimes depend on...
Let's talk about it elsewhere. It was a little too technical. Someone hasn't read the book.
Okay. I have another question. It's also technical, but not related to the book.
It has to be related with something that people can understand. Okay? Yeah, it can't be something like technical, psychological, that nobody's going to understand what we're talking about. Because you have to be compassionate with everyone here. So anyone have a general question about Krishna consciousness? Yes?
Yes, Maharaj. Actually, we have been in this movement like 10 years, 5 years, or 20 years. And we joined this movement to hear the chanting of holy names. But beginning, actually, like my understanding and my experience, actually we chant that constantly and we get more time and more intensively we chant.
Right.
But you know, slowly, sometimes I feel like lazy, not chant properly, not doing more service. Also, some of the devotees also same line. So why is happening and how we can, you know, develop this more?
Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, and I was just reading that today, that we should come to the stage of chanting almost 24 hours a day. The only time you don't have to chant is when you're sleeping. So we have to develop the habit. When I was with Prabhupada, I observed that many times Prabhupada's lips were moving when he was doing other things. I was in one television interview with Prabhupada, and the man was talking, and Prabhupada was, you know, lips were moving, he was chanting. So I actually observed that Prabhupada was chanting like 24 hours a day when I was with Prabhupada. I mean, sometimes I guess in the mind, not always the lips were moving. But he was always absorbed in Krishna's name. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So if we forget about that, I remember when I first joined the movement, I was trying to chant 24 hours a day, and after that, you know, I wasn't so intense about it. So we have to keep the holy names always there at the tip of our tongues. I think that's the secret. Once you forget, once you become loose, once you become complacent, once you don't chant at least your 16 rounds, then Maya will overcome you. Just like, what are the 16 rounds? 16 rounds are minimum. Actually, we're supposed to chant 64. But the 16 rounds are our vaccination against Krishna's illusory energy. Just like if you go to a doctor, the doctor says, you know, take one pill every 4 hours. But then you only take one pill every 24 hours. And you come back to the doctor and say, doctor, the pills aren't working. The doctor has given you a prescription. So Krishna and Srila Prabhupada have given us a prescription. The prescription is chanting 64 rounds. And attentively and having good sadhana. You know, I know that most of the devotees here really like to stay awake late at night. I know that because I can hear them. You know, I'm in my room at 2 o'clock in the morning and I can hear, honey bowl, honey bowl. Pass the prasadam, yeah. Where's the bacon? You know, bacon? Eggplant? You know. You all like fried bacon, right? So I can hear that. And I'm thinking, when are they going to get up? But the nice thing is, when I get up for Mangal Arati, before Mangal Arati, and chant my rounds, everything's quiet. So I can chant my rounds peacefully because everyone's sleeping. So I guess you're doing nice service for me. So, joking aside, it's good. Oh, Hare Krishna, your sword. So, it's good to have good sadhana. I mean, I know most devotees can't wake up early because they have jobs or something like that, but there should be some time when we can put aside where we can chant Krishna's names attentively. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that inattentive chanting is at the root of all the other offenses on chanting the holy name. So we have to put some time aside where we can just have quality time with the holy names. Then you'll be happy. Or I'm going to. old timer. He's been around for a long time. Yeah, actually, when Ranganath was around here, when I came to the temple in 72, 73, or whatever, it was 78, we had a Sankirtan marathon, remember that?
Yes.
And then my party challenged the whole New Orleans temple.
Yeah, we didn't have very many people.
Yeah.
We only had hardly anybody.
No, you had a lot of people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a lot.
I can't remember.
I remember. So I had four or five people in my party, and the temple had about 10 or 15 people going out in Sankirtan, and we won. And we had a big party. Right in this temple room, we had a big party. We were throwing prasadam at each other. You remember that?
Is that the mango?
Yeah, there was some...
The mango party we had?
Something like that. There was cake and everything. We were throwing each other. Christmas party. Anyway, so I do go back quite a bit with the temple here. So in any case, it's important to have good sadhana, some quality time when we can sit and chant our rounds, or walk and chant your rounds, and not just space them out between everything else, and not just have the rounds on a clicker. Click, click. Hare Krishna, click, click. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ram, Ram, click, click. Gauranga, click, click. So it's important to have some time when we get it. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also reading that today, that when you touch Tulsi Devi, there's a special mercy you get. You're associating with the pure devotee of the Lord. So when you're chanting and you're rolling the beads between your fingers, you get special nectar, special
connection.
You get a connection. A pure devotee, I mean, wow, you're associating, like we started talking about pure devotees, you're associating with the pure devotee. So, if you could do that, I mean, Krishna would be very pleased with you. Have some quality time with the holy name. Kirtan is wonderful. Yes, we are a kirtan movement, but japa is also there as part of our prescription. So, any other questions? Yes?
I have a question not exactly regarding the topics you've been talking about here. If you allow me to ask that question.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes we see different opinion about the worshipping different demigods. Especially there is a certain can call the demigods or also not the energy of the Lord. It's like in the prayer, Srimad Bhagavatam said that Mother Saraswati has been glorified by the great devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the community we see that idea slowly, and even also in our ISKCON movement, start worshipping different demigods such as
Vishwakarma
and so on, and Mother Saraswati, different demigods. And they tend to have the philosophy attached to that from the different scriptures or different devotees from different parts of the world, that it is okay for us. So I just wanted to have your opinion, what Prabhupada and what you think about.
Well, what does Krishna say in the Gita? He uses the words avidipurvakam, doesn't he? He says it's not the recommended path. So, and Prabhupada, of course, talks about worship of the demigods like bribing a government official. He said it's like it's like getting a driving license in India. You don't have to take the test, you just... Right? Am I right?
Yeah. But
now they started. With Modi they started. But anyway, it's just you bribe. So, what happens when you bribe? Of course, with Modi now you get in trouble. Right? Because he's very strict with this. So what happens if you bribe it? It's illegal. So bribing the demigods or approaching the demigods and praying for them, it's very difficult. It's like watering, you know, the leaves of the tree rather than the root of the tree. And that's another example given. And if you serve Krishna, then all the demigods automatically have to behave themselves. I mean, you all know the Govardhan Puja story where Indra was not worshipped, he got angry, and they worshipped Govardhan and Krishna, and Krishna protected it. Krishna says, Ananyaschinta yandamam yejanak paripasate pisham nityuriyuktamam yogakshem vahamiyam, I'll carry what you lack. So, I don't think we have to worry about worshipping demigods. However, there's another point. If we deal with someone who's not Krishna conscious and they're very attached to the demigods, we just say, put them on the lower level in the altar and offer them Krishna prasad after you offer to Krishna. And that's the proper method. Just like in Bhuvaneshwara, you know what they do in Bhuvaneshwara when they worship Lord Shiva? You know?
Lingaraj
Temple. How do they worship?
They offer Jagannath prasad.
After they offer to Jagannath, they bring the prasad in a taxi or a truck or something like that to Lingaraj and they offer. So if you're attached like that, go ahead. We respect the demigods, especially we respect Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam, Yathashambhu. He protects the Dham, so we worship him. I mean, even on my altar at home, I have a deity of Lord Shiva. So I'm worshiping the demigods. Anyways, but I offered to Giriraj, and then I distribute the prasad to Lord Shiva. And I offer to Lord Shiva as a devotee. Just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a pure devotee of the Lord. He's not God. But if you begin to worship him as God, then that is also a vini purvakam. So same thing with the demigods. So then, but it's not necessary. It's unnecessary. I mean, devotees nowadays have come up with so many new rituals and new activities that Prabhupada never instituted. I mean, just the other day we were talking about, and this is going to be controversial, I'm warning you. We were talking about Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. Prabhupada was asked about that, and he said, it's like any other Ekadasi. And it comes to Shakti. And, of course, we do follow Ekadasi. But the point is that Bhimsen, maybe he couldn't follow the Ekadasi, but we're not Bhimsen. So that whole point about Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi, none of our acharyas ever talked about it. It's written in one of the Puranas. That's true. I understand that. But it was never given to us by any of our acharyas, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And we're supposed to, we're supposed to follow the footsteps of the acharyas. Acharya Upasana. You understand? That's our method. And just like you have that verse, Sampradaya Vinayi Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha, that if a mantra is not given in, coming in Sampradaya, it won't have any effect. So a particular ritual, particular activity is not being given to us in Sampradaya, it's not going to be effective for us. So we sometimes find devotees now that they're becoming more expert or educated in the different Puranas, they pick and choose different things that were never emphasized and never given to us by any of our Sampradaya acharyas. So, and one of those things is worship of demigods. Like probably another funny story, here's a funny story for you. Like in the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that one can worship Ganesh for relief from devotional impediments. You understand what I mean? So, one devotee was writing Prabhupada. This devotee was collecting money for Prabhupada to help build a temple, or the temple in Vrindavan. So he asked Prabhupada, wrote a letter, Prabhupada, can we worship Ganesh? And Prabhupada wrote back that you can only worship Ganesh if you give me $100,000 a month. That devotee's name was Guru Kripa. Some of you may know that story. And he started giving Prabhupada $100,000 a month. So his puja room for Ganesh was his safe. You know what a safe is? where you give your money. So I remember, I watched him one time. He opened up his safe and he started chanting all the Ganesh mantras. So it's a little funny story. So basically, there's no need to worship the demigods. However, we don't want to disturb people's faith. As Krishna says, don't disturb the faith for those who are not, you know, Krishna consciousness. Encourage them to work in the spirit of devotion. It's not the worst possible thing if someone is worshiping a demigod. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that for primitive people, they may worship the sun and the moon and the different aspects of nature as something greater than themselves. So that's the first step. At least it's better than not thinking that something is great, is better than you. So if someone worships the demigods, all right, very nice. But here is Aham Adiyuri Devanam. You know, here is the source of all the demigods, and that's Krishna.
My initial intention was regarding the devotees. The devotees have been initiated for many years, and they have been in the movement for many years. Now they are trying to find the different ways to show the culture to the next generation, especially the kids, children, that how we respect different demigods and get their blessing.
Yeah, we respect them. But you're trying to show the culture to the kids. The kids have grown up in the West. They're ABCDs. You know what an ABCD is?
Yeah. American born.
Confused Asian. You know, they're brought up in the West. And, I mean, if you want to show them, but that's not an essential item of Krishna consciousness. That's really not essential. I mean, we respect the demigods. I mean, I like I said, I personally have Lord Shiva, a murti of Lord Shiva on my altar, and I respect him, and I'm personally a devotee of Hanuman too. Hanuman is not a demigod, Hanuman's an Anga of Lord Shiva. And so, you know, I have a lot of affection for them, but at the same time, as long as the philosophy is presented properly, as long as we understand they're devotees. See, there's a tendency towards impersonalism. Just like sometimes they have this story of Panchamukha Hanuman. You ever heard about that before? Not bona fide. They present Hanuman with like as Lord Nrsingadev, Lord Bharat. You seen this? It's complete impersonalism, Mayavadi stuff. So we have to be very careful if we're going to be dealing with demigods or talking about demigods to make it very clear that they're all subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Hanuman, he's the servant of Ram. Ram Sevak. And we have Lord Shiva, he's chanting Ram Nam. He gave Ram Nam to Durga Devi, and she eventually got Krishna Nam from Haridas Thakur. So as long as we make it very clear, very, very clear. I mean, yes, it's important to keep or teach the children culture, just like you have the children learning, the girls learning Bhagavatam, right? Which is important. However, there may be certain aspects of the culture that are not helpful to Krishna consciousness, and you have to be able to separate those out. Like, in any culture, I mean, for example, in India, there's a lot of things that people do in India that come from the Muslims or come from the Western world, and they're not essential items of the culture. I mean, just like the kurta that we're all wearing, that comes from the Middle East. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It doesn't come, it's not originally from India. It actually comes from the Middle East. So you may think it's a cultural item, but it's not really an Indian cultural item, it's a Middle Eastern cultural item. Or anyway, a lot of things that we do, we may think they're essential or cultural items, just like people like to eat potatoes. Potatoes are not originally from India. Lord Chaitanya didn't eat potatoes. That may come as a shock to you. Did you know that?
Yeah, Portuguese.
They came from Europe.
Yeah.
Potatoes came
from Portuguese or something.
Yeah, Portuguese for potatoes. Lord Chaitanya didn't play harmonium. That came from Europe also. So So we have to, I mean, cultural things are good, but we also should understand where these cultural items came from. And not all of them came from India. And even a lot of the architecture you have in India came from the Middle East, not from India. At least the newer buildings. Or it came from the British. Or drinking tea. Where did drinking tea come from? The British. You know, you know how the British brought tea to India? They brought it from China originally. And they gave it out free to everybody. Did you know this? They gave it free. Why did they give it free? Because they wanted to addict people to doing something. It's like a drug dealer.
Like
here in New Orleans, if you go to certain areas of the city, the drug dealers will give you free drugs because they want customers, you know, free sample. So the British were doing that, and people got addicted to tea, and now no one can live without tea. Of course, tea is very nice. Because when you have a driver who's driving you to Mayapur in the middle of the night, you want them to drink tea. I've been with the taxi driver and they were falling asleep and I said, "You're drinking tea." And he said, "No, I don't drink tea." I said, "You're drinking tea. And I'm paying for it, whether you like it or not." Yeah, to save my life. So anyway, yeah, certain things are cultural. Certain things, I mean, we have to see that certain things come from activities that are against Krishna consciousness. Like you have tantric activities, for example. You know, tantric activities. You know, left-handed tantra, which is actually the opposite of Krishna consciousness. So you don't want to mix those with Krishna consciousness. You don't want to mix karmakanja activities like Satyanarayan Katha with Krishna consciousness. You have to be careful not to introduce something that interferes with people's Krishna consciousness. Yes, but it's fine. I mean, people should understand the demigods. Please don't worship Indra on your altar, though, because he's not a pure devotee. Ganesha is a pure devotee. Lord Shiva is a pure devotee. Lord Brahma, I've never seen someone with a deity who was Brahma on their altar. Have you?
He's been cursed.
He has only worshipped one temple in India.
Yeah.
So, at least if you're going to have some demigod, make sure they're pure devotees. Okay.
Mahaprabhu stated, Mahapujibe Devidevan Magini Krishna Bhakti Bhar. Don't worship demigods.
Yeah.
When you see the demigods, you will give obeisances and ask Krishna Bhakti.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do. You ask Krishna Bhakti for them. And then, you know, Lord Chaitanya stopped at the Lingaraj temple and he actually offered obeisances too. So it's not that we're against, because one of the offenses is to blaspheme the demigods. You don't want to disrespect the demigods. They're great. Many of them are great devotees. And if you're not Krishna conscious, you get to visit one of the great devotees in your next life, Yamaraj. So, any other questions? Yes? Runda.
Well, I just wanted to clear something up while you're here, because in the Prasadam room, sometimes devotees are talking and there's things that come on the internet about Krishna West.
Yeah.
And Hridayananda Maharaj giving lectures. I saw some of those lectures. Seems like the same philosophy. I don't see anything.
Yeah.
Except he's not wearing a kurta.
Yeah.
Which is from Middle East anyway.
Yeah.
But he's wearing a regular shirt. So yeah. I didn't see any difference. So could you explain while you're here so I can tell the other devotees that are a little bit confused about what Krishna West is?
Well, the first point is we don't want to criticize any Vaishnava. You know, if someone has a little bit different approach than us in spreading Krishna, and they're still chanting Hare Krishna, and they're dedicated to Prabhupada, that's between them and Krishna. It doesn't help for us to criticize Vaishnavas. And if a Vaishnava is not doing well, instead of criticizing them, you should help them. Right? I'm not saying that's about Hridayananda Maharaj. All I'm saying is in general, we don't criticize Vaishnavas at all. Even if someone chants Hare Krishna once, we offer respects in the mind. Right? And if someone's initiated and chanting, we offer respects externally. So that's the first point. You know, we talk so much prajalpa, and especially with this internet, it's full of opportunities to talk prajalpa. So as far as Rinai Nandamaharaj, he is seeing a great problem in America today. What is the problem? We're not making many Western body devotees. And he's trying his best to try to come up with some strategy to make more Western body devotees. Wouldn't it be nice to have more Western body devotees here in the temple? Because Prabhupada said, it's United Nations in the spiritual world. I mean, New Orleans should have Chinese people here, people from India, people from America, obviously, people from Africa. Everybody should be here just joining hands and chanting Hare Krishna. You know, we don't want to have just New Bengal here. You know, we love everybody. So he's thinking, how can we bring more people in the West to Krishna consciousness? And it's a problem that we don't have many people. Not in America, nor in Western Europe. In Eastern Europe, yes. Russia, it's a little bit different. China, we're making a lot of devotees. So it's a real it's a problem for the movement, because we're supposed to be an international movement. And he's feeling anxiety. So he's trying to come up with a strategy. That's between him and Krishna, whether that strategy is good or bad. You know, you have to see if it works. Prabhupada came up with different strategies too. Prabhupada did things that his godbrothers criticized him for. One thing Prabhupada did was having men and women live in the temple. Not together, but in different places. His godbrothers said, this is nonsense. But Prabhupada said, if he didn't do that, he wouldn't have been successful. But this is, Prabhupada made that statement. If he hadn't made that adjustment. Because, you know, the Western people, they're not accustomed to the radical separation between men and women. That's just the nature of the Western people. So Prabhupada made the adjustment, and he was successful, because Prabhupada was always ready to make adjustments in details rather than principles. So the same thing, referring to Rinai Nandamaharaj, he's trying to make some adjustments in detail, confirmed by the conscience. He's trying to make some adjustments in details rather than the principles. You know, he still chants Hare Krishna, still worships Prabhupada, still offers all his food to Krishna, still preaches, you know, all those other things like that. I mean, you don't have to agree with him, but at least don't criticize. Because if you criticize someone who has dedicated their life to spreading Krishna consciousness, even if they may be doing something different than you actually think is good, then that's one of the offenses on chanting. Jai Shri Shri Radha Kanda, Shri Shri Gauratai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. So, that's important. Don't criticize any Vaishnava. Appreciate the Vaishnavas and help them. If a Vaishnava is having trouble, don't criticize him for having trouble. Help them. We're meant to have loving exchanges, isn't it? Dadati pratigranati guyamakyati prichati mukte bhojyate chaiva. Never criticize anyone. Actually, it says that two things should not be done. Criticizing Vaishnavas and also praising. And it says, but praising, you can ignore that injunction. And otherwise, if you're criticizing, you can follow in the footsteps of our great devotee, Ramchandra Puri. You know Ramchandra Puri? He criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating prasadam. He said, this sannyasi is eating too much. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to eat very little. And he said, ah, this sannyasi is engaged in dry renunciation. He's eating too little. You couldn't win with Ramchandra Puri. right? There's no way you could win with him. He saw ants on the floor in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room. He said, this sannyasi is eating sweetmeats. He criticized his own guru. His guru, Madhavendra Puri, was getting ready to leave this world. And he was crying out in separation from Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I have not reached Mathura. And then he told his guru, meditate on Brahman, Guru Maharaj. Brahmabhuta prasanatman sochatina kanchati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madhaktim bhavate param. And the Guru Maharaj, Madhavendra Puri, said, get the hell out of here. I don't want to see this rascal's face anymore. And that was the last word he heard from his guru. Imagine, what was the last thing your Guru Maharaj told you? My Guru Maharaj said, get the hell out of here. So do we want to be like that? I don't think so.
He's testing the Guru.
No, he's offending his Guru. You don't test your guru like that.
Like Bhrigu Muni sometimes, you know, Bhrigu Muni went to different planets. Sometimes they are also higher level, but how you can do like this? Because the knowledge of our personals.
Yeah. Yeah. Ramchandra Puri would do it. Not Bhilmangal Thakur. Bhilmangal Thakur is a different story. Chintamani is built in him. So anyway, so the point is that we should see the good in people. We should be like honeybees. Instead, sometimes we like flies to look for the stool. Oh, we become so happy when we find fault in someone, isn't it? Oh, joy, hippie-boo! We found the spot on the moon. Ecstatic. But we should always praise the Vaishnavas. Fan the spark of devotion. Okay, I think that's it. I want to thank everybody, and thank you all for helping this temple, which is one of the most important temples established by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada while he was on the planet. The temple is non-different than Sridhar Mayapur. You can be sure of that. Gaurantai and the altar are the same. Gaurantai is in Sridhar Mayapur. And Radha Kanta, the same, Radharani and Krishna, Sakshad, Brajendra Nandana. And Lord Jagannath is the same Lord Jagannath that's in Jagannath Puri. It's not different.
Yeah.
There's not two different Lord Jagannaths. You know, if you can't go in the Jagannath Puri temple, which I think soon I'm going to be able to go in, because there's a new law passed by the court, that if you can't go in, you just come here. See the deities here. It's the same thing. Same person, right? You think there's a different person? So you're very fortunate. Anyway, you're very fortunate. May Krishna bless you. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.